The programmers need to start meditating post. 79 points. 71 comments. Generated a thread that's worth engaging with carefully, because the HN response is more nuanced than either a dismissive eye roll or enthusiastic agreement. The author argues that the specific cognitive demands of programming, sustained deep focus, managing complexity, debugging, are precisely the demands that meditation and mindfulness practice are shown to support. The thread has people sharing serious personal experience, alongside people pointing out that the evidence base for mindfulness-specific cognitive benefits is weaker than popular discourse suggests.
My read on the HN thread is that the most upvoted comments aren't debating whether meditation works in some abstract sense. They're making a more specific point. The thing meditation might actually help with for programmers is the meta skill of noticing when you're stuck and spinning rather than making progress, and being able to step back intentionally rather than continuing to grind. That's a real cognitive skill, regardless of what you call the practice that builds it.
The My ASN Journey series, a detailed account of the process of obtaining an autonomous system number as an individual hobbyist, is the kind of deep infrastructure education that HN does better than anywhere else. Getting an ASN means you're participating in the Border Gateway Protocol, the routing protocol that underlies the entire internet structure. It's not something most people ever need to do, but the detailed account of the bureaucratic and technical steps involved illuminates how internet infrastructure actually gets built and governed.
The Atomic Force Microscope video post is genuinely extraordinary, if you haven't seen it. AFM high-speed video captures molecular-scale dynamics. We're talking about processes happening at the nanometer scale being visualized in real time. The video shows bacterial behavior and stainless steel etching at a level of detail that wasn't possible to capture in video form until recently. It's 79 points and 8 comments, which suggests it found a niche audience. But that niche audience is scientists and engineers who immediately grasp what they're seeing.
The 3D Benchy Problems post and the Pi Square is Nearly 10 Mathematical Curiosity and the Intuitive Quantum Electrodynamics resource represent the long tail of HN content that I think defines the community's character. These aren't high traffic stories. The Benchy post, Troubleshooting 3D Printing Calibration Using a Standardized Test Model, has 5 points and 3 comments. The pi-squared approximation observation has 7 points and no comments. But their presence on the front page says something about what the community values. Practical craft knowledge and genuine mathematical curiosity get surface time, not just startup news.
Now, our what-if-we're-wrong discussion. I want to pick the claim from this episode that the community seems most confident about, and probe it. The claim I'd choose is this, that AI-assisted development, as exemplified by the Sklite Utils story and the Zig ecosystem's growth, represents a net positive for open-source software quality and maintainability.
That seems pretty broadly accepted in the HN discourse right now. Willison's post was received largely positively. The counter-arguments were mostly in the minority.
Right, so let's stress test it. The strongest counter-argument isn't AI-generated code is bad. It's something subtler. Open-source software quality has historically depended on a specific learning pathway. A developer reads code, doesn't understand something, figures it out, and in the process of figuring it out, learns something that makes them a better maintainer. That process, confusion, investigation, resolution, is how institutional knowledge about a code base accumulates in human minds.
And you're saying that if significant portions of a code base are AI generated, that learning pathway gets disrupted.
Exactly. The key assumption underlying AI-assisted development is a net positive is that the person using the AI has enough domain knowledge to evaluate the output, catch subtle errors, and understand the decisions embedded in the generated code. Willison almost certainly satisfies that assumption. He has decades of Python experience and a deep understanding of SQLite. But what happens when less experienced maintainers start using AI assistance on code bases they inherited rather than built?
The failure mode would be code bases that look correct because the AI generated syntactically valid, logically coherent-seeming code, but that contains subtle architectural decisions that the human maintainer doesn't fully understand, making them difficult to debug when edge cases surface.
And the insidious part is that it might take years for this to become visible. The code ships, it works fine for normal cases, and the first sign that something is wrong comes when a user hits an unusual edge case 2 years after the original code was written, and the person who wrote it can't explain why it was structured the way it was, because they didn't actually reason through it.
So what's the signal to watch for? If that concern is valid, what would we expect to see?
Watch for the ratio of bug reports to bug fixes in mature, AI-assisted open-source projects. If that ratio is stable or improving, the concern is probably overstated. If you start seeing an accumulation of latent bugs that were in the code for a long time before being discovered, that's a potential indicator. Also, watch for maintainer burnout comments and GitHub issues. Specifically, maintainers saying they don't understand portions of their own code base. That kind of admission happens in open source, and it's a meaningful signal about knowledge gaps.
The book review scam warning, 53 points, 14 comments, is a useful practical story. The Writer Beware blog documented how book club and book review scams have evolved from the classic Nigerian prince format. Authors are approached with what seems like legitimate review or promotion opportunities that turn out to require payment for services that are either worthless or non-existent. The mechanism is more sophisticated now: fake literary credentials, plausible-looking websites, but the underlying pattern is the same. Worth knowing if you're in any creative community.